Blog Talk Radio.
When life seems to crush your dreams, so find your balance for all your needs. A little work, some family fun. Find your love, keep your life on the run. Told you how the story goes. So write your own script before you grow old. Live your life, laugh out loud. Own who you are, stand up proud. You gotta find what works for you. Find a balance that lets you be you.
That's right, folks. Find the balance and be you and write your own script. Yes, this is Stephen Zimmer coming to you live out of Lexington, Kentucky for another episode of the Star Chamber Show live podcast. This is number 280 for those of you keeping count. And, of course, our intro, thank you to the band Far Cry with a segment of the song Balance from their brand-new album Balance, which I highly recommend. And tonight I'm joined by two lovely, lovely co-hosts, one from not too far away who you haven't heard from a lot in recent episodes, but she's going to be on fire tonight, and that's Ollie Phillippe. And, of course, the one, the only, from down under in parts unknown Tennessee, Daniel Dark. Greetings, my friends.
Hello, hello.
How's it going, guys?
Good, good. And Holly, you logged in just in time for the intro. So
I know.
You.
I just jumped out of the shower and was washing this mane of hair. And anybody that knows me personally knows I have a mane of hair. So, yeah, it takes me
a wee bit. Just a wee bit.
Yeah.
But you made it, so that's good. And Daniel is hopefully not having floods this week at least and ready to rock and roll tonight because we got a good one. Got a good guess,
How
Daniel.
How is it looking down in there, Daniel? How's it looking?
So far, so good, you know. We had some rain the other day and everything, but it hasn't really rained. It's actually showing where it's going to stop raining here. So
good. I seen poor. It's a shame too. Loretta Lynn's ranch. It just was total devastation. She lost everything in it, and her ranch hand also perished in the flood, and that's just tragic. He has been with her for decades and, you know, was just like family. And yeah, it's very sad. And then They just had the hurricane in New Orleans, and I got a nephew down in Gulfport, Mississippi, and some friends yet, and I was in touch with them. And they fared okay. They were one of the lucky ones. New Orleans wasn't so lucky. This time around, but yeah, they said Gulfport, they just mainly had a lot of winds, few tornadoes, but the ones that I know down there, their houses and everything were fine. They took shelter, and when they got home, everything was okay. They didn't lose anything or nothing, so that's always good to hear. But our thoughts and prayers go out to those who have, you know, recently lost their lives in these floods and these terrible storms. And there's another one brewing, old Larry, out there in the off the coast, way off the coast of Florida. It looks like he's barreling. I looked a little bit ago. It looks like he's barreling either right for, he'll go like up the East Coast toward New York, or it's possible he could hit Maine-ish, Canada, or he's going to turn right back out into the ocean. It looks like he could hook. In my opinion, I've watched these things over the years. So, yeah, let's hope he takes a good right turn and gets away from our coast. We've had enough.
Hopefully he's a hooker, huh?
Yes, we want him to be a hooker.
Yeah.
Darn right.
Yeah, it's one way of saying it. Yeah.
But, yeah, that's what's been going on. It's crazy. Other than the, you know, all the other stuff, it's getting rough again out there, guys. stay safe. Do what you need to, you know, what you feel like you should be doing for you and your family and others, and hold the line. That's all we can do.
Well, on a good note, I did hand in. Yes, and I am just handed in a rather large manuscript to be edited. It's going into the editing pipeline, but I did finish the fifth book, book five in the Rising Dawn saga, The Crimson Rain, kind of a true cross-genre, the mix of dystopian, apocalyptic, thriller, science fiction, fantasy, paranormal, horror elements. I mean, it does have everything on genre-wise. And it's clocked in at 1,004 pages on the manuscript, and that's double space courier 12 point font. But so in print it'll probably be about 750 pages, but 195K in the word count. So yeah, this is a large volume, not as big as book four quite. It's a little bit smaller, but yeah, it's definitely one of the larger tomes, but still short of a recent Stephen King release.
Let me tell you, people, it weighs more than a newborn baby. Does that tell you anything?
it's still shorter than a Stephen King or the recent George R. R. Martin novels in the Song of Ice and Fire. So yeah, it's not quite. You know, there are books that are bigger out there, but it is a large one. Yeah, it is an epic scale story though. It definitely is as large of a scale story as epic fantasy. So it does need to be that big.
Stephen had to get this done because, like he was telling Sandy Linder earlier, the current social climate was catching up with his books because mm-hmm. Stephen is like a bit of a prophet with this whole series, guys. If you haven't read it, start reading it because he started the first. When did you publish the first one? 2011.
First one came out in 2009, actually. In early 2009.
See?
And if you read those books
way
that came out in 2009, 10, 11,
started,
stuff like that.
You know?
It's eerie what's going on in that world versus what came later in our world, and it's parallels. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So I mean, this one I had to really think pretty hard just so I could stay ahead of the curve, because the world in the book is our world is catching up very quickly to the world in my book, and so, which is not necessarily a good thing, but it's because it is, like I said, a dystopian apocalyptic storyline, but it's pretty interesting. Readers tend to get pretty shocked when they read it.
Well, I always tell you, I'm like, I hope you're wrong. I hope you're wrong. I really do. Yeah. But you haven't been so far. So.
Yeah, it's got a lot. And hopefully I'll do an episode where we can go in depth on some of the stuff that I've got in those early books that, you know, kind of parallel things that happened in our world many years afterwards, and talking more in detail about some of that kind of congruency in that. But this is a very full throttle action driven installment. So, I mean, it's definitely one the readers can have a roller coaster ride in. So I'm pretty excited about that, but no rest, no slacking. I dived right into the follow-up to Dream of the Navigator, and it's called Rise of the Voyager, and I'm already over 5K into that. So, yeah, definitely full steam ahead on another installment and another series. So, yeah, we're going to keep it coming. So that's the good
news.
And
I do want to let people know on a different note that Imaginarium, enter the Imaginarium.com. We are open for early registration, guest mm-hmm. applications. I won't get back to you for a little bit yet because I wait till, you know, a good bunch come in and then I go through them, because there's no sense of me backtracking, you know, 1,000 times. So give me, you know, a few weeks, but I will get back with you. But yeah, we're open also for tables and early registration, early bird specials
mm-hmm.
we have running
yep.
through the 15th, if I'm correct.
18th,
right?
18th, September 18th, we have
18th,
discounts.
There you go, even
for
better.
Registration discounts for expo space. Definitely looking
yep.
for sponsors. Now is definitely a prime time for you to come aboard as a sponsor patron. And then we also have discounts for early submissions to the film festival. And the platform that we use is Film Freeway, where we are listed as a gold Film Festival now, and it's great to have that nice little gold badge. But yeah, we are one with Film Freeway, and they are accepting at discounted early bird rates as well. So right now, yeah, through half of September, I mean, you got a chance to save and get space reserved for next summer, which is going to be year 9. So that'd be a lot of fun. So yeah, never too early to anchor things down.
No. No, definitely not. And
yep.
We'll be, since it's summer, and I'm so glad we made the decision just at the right time to go to summer, because as you all are perfectly aware, we're never getting rid of COVID. It's not going to go anywhere. It's just going to keep mutating at this point. So we're always going to have COVID season, just like flu season, it looks like. So unless a miracle happens, but there in the summer, whew, hopefully we're going to be in pretty good shape. So let's cross our fingers that the Delta variant makes its ugly head, you know, bury back in the sand.
Yeah, hopefully we'll get the nice thing that happened this summer where everything kind of calmed down and we were able to do live events
we
and all
break.
That kind of good stuff. Yeah. So we will see. We will see. But I think that, yeah, midsummer is a good time to be out of a cold, flu, COVID, whatever season. You know, I think it'll be a good time health-wise to be having an event. So we do have the best spot on the schedule. So that is good news. So so just keep your fingers crossed and hope and pray.
We got lucky. We have got lucky.
Yes. Yep.
How's the cigar world, Mr. Dark?
I'm sure it's doing pretty good right now. I have not been.
Daniel's a little under the weather.
Big participant of it here recently because of different ailments and everything been running through my house and stuff. And it's just,
a lot going on.
Right, a lot going on.
Yeah.
He had a great
today,
Instagram
today,
picture with a lot of tumblers.
Going on today, so.
Yeah, he had if you look on his Instagram account for Gentleman's Cigar, he had a great picture of a nice collection of tumblers and snifters. And I was like, oh, yeah, we could definitely put some bourbon in some of those. No question. So, he's got he has been keeping up with his Instagram pretty well. So there's some good stuff on there. So check out Gentleman Cigar on Instagram if you get a chance. Some cool, cool pictures.
I'm trying to keep up with everything, so we'll just see how it worked out.
You're doing good. You're doing good. And, it's coming up here a couple minutes.
We only do what we can do, do the best we can.
Right. But let's go ahead and acknowledge two awesome sponsors tonight. And you're going to have a little deja vu from last week's episode because we have Sandy Lender and Mary Ann Pohl. So, yes, we get a little deja vu. Yeah, we got because today is September 1st, so it starts the new month. So, but as you remember, last week we got truncated a little bit because the system crashed. Actually did call Blog Talk Radio and got a hold of them the next day and turned out that there was a system problem that helped – it caused problems for a lot of shows, evidently, that night, last Wednesday. And so that's why we only got our first hour in. But they said they identified the problem and that they fixed it. So knock on wood, they said they fixed whatever it was last week. And now here we are and for the new week. But we do have our two awesome sponsors that you heard last week and definitely want to give you some big recognition to Sandy Lender, Mary Ann Pohl. Here we go with Sandy Lender.
Fantasy author Sandy Lender wants to take you on vacation. All you have to do is grab one of Sandy's many spec fiction titles and let her sweep you away. Get ready to cheer for strong heroines, multifaceted zombies, and, of course, all those fabulous dragons. Follow Sandy Lender on the Amazon platform to select your next summer vacation destination.
And thank you, Sandy. And folks, later in the month, be on the lookout for some new Sandy Leonard spots. They're going to be advertising something really awesome. So that's the only teaser I'm going to give you. But yeah, Sandy's got something in store for you, and it's going to be coming a little later this month in some new ads. So yeah, she's got a great new project that will be the subject of those ads. So keep your eye out. And Mary Ann Pohl, let me give you a little info about her. In invisible battles being fought around us, if we listen closely, we can hear swords clashing in the war for human souls. The Iconoclast thriller series is not your typical horror, so if you're looking for blood and guts just for the sake of blood and guts, you won't enjoy these books. But if you're looking for frightful stories in which ordinary individuals must face extraordinary circumstances and the supernatural, look no further. Mary Ann Pohl, and you find her on Amazon.com and at her website at MaryAnnPohl.com, MaryAnnPohl.com, and where all good books are sold. Fantastic writer. She's got a great podcast, too. So, yeah, look up Mary Ann Pohl. Thank you both, Mary Ann Pohl and Cindy Leonard, for the awesome support of the show. And now we're going to be should have our caller coming in here any moment now, but back to the discussion. So yeah, Holly, do you have any exciting updates? I know you've been doing a little more on your TikTok channel, and then you've been editing and all kinds of stuff.
I've been TikToking. Yeah, I'm having fun with that. Yeah, I've just felt a little off the past week and a half, but yeah, trying to hang in, doing what I can. This week I'm actually having a Pampered Chef Facebook party, so I've been piddling in there too. And then my son Noah will be coming in from Georgia tomorrow and staying a few days. So we're actually headed to Indiana for a couple of days to see family up there and all, while Stephen holds down the homestead here with the fur babies. Which are just romping around doing great. Their godmother, Cassandra Morgan, gave them some goodies and some new toys at Imaginarium, and I dug out some of the newer ones because I gave them some already and saved some back. So then I threw out a few more today, so they've been bouncing around and playing with those, which is always fun. But, yeah, I've just been helping Stephen oh, his new book. Yeah, I he handed me that the other day, and I'm like, holy moly. So I've got to get that sucker in a binder yet. It's going to take me an hour just to get that thing in the binder. I was like, what in the world are you doing to me?
Well, you've got the digital copy, too, so you can work with that one. But I did want to see what it looked like as a manuscript.
I'll definitely work with the digital copy.
It makes me feel like, yes, some work was put into it, but
yeah, just a little.
It's ready.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. And holy, as Holly would say, holy moly, we have our guest on deck. So I better get to the introduction. Hey, that's right. And those of you that attend Imaginarium, the virtual edition this summer, will recognize our guest of tonight. And tonight's guest is an author, game designer, artist, book blogger, and marketer, and also a crypto expert, which we're going to get into a little bit. This guest has developed the Tales from Trinity City Universe, our tabletop RPG game and books, and also is developing some exciting projects, including new video channels. And so tonight, for the first time on the Star Chamber Show live podcast, I'd like to introduce Mark Schwaneman. Mark, your mic is now live. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Stephen, and I'm really glad that we're connecting for the first time.
Yes, this is awesome.
Like, wow.
Yeah, almost did during Imaginarium, but that was on an event platform. But this time we actually get to talk live on the air here. So this is this is even better. So
exciting.
This is awesome. Yes. And you get Holly too, yeah, because she's definitely one you dealt with during the convention prep. But we're excited to have you.
Hello, Mark.
Yeah, lots
hey,
to talk
Holly.
About. Lots to talk about. And well, I mean, let's get to it. I mean, you have your own universe. I mean, and you got some cool stuff in your background because, I mean, I know you went to school for 3D animation, and so you got a background 3D animation and game design, and that leads kind of to my first question of the night, and that's the Tales of Trinity City. And I definitely want to give the audience kind of a Cliff Notes kind of synopsis of what Tales from Trinity City is and kind of how it applies to your book and game development world. So you have the floor, Mark. Tell us about it.
Okay, Tales from Trinity City. I started to develop this idea in 2004. No, actually 2006, when I started to go, like, I was playing some video games, MMORPGs, and almost every MMORPG kind of messes up at some point. And I decided all the characters I was making for all of these games, the only people who could actually tell the story right was me. So I started to take animation in 2008, learning how to make this game about this superhero who could fought with a katana and could sense things in time and manipulate time, who was named Corral, and he would his story would actually change this world, because this world has been threatened and almost conquered by an alien race, but he was going to be the sword of justice that would actually help humanity overcome this alien race and then help the entire galaxy eventually against this alien race, freeing all of the whole world from the an alien race called the Serpents that treats all other races like they're just cattle for them. And so this has been something I've been working on for probably almost 12, 13, 14 years now. And I finally have the rule book, the lore book, the first versions of it, and the first version of the character sheet available for download so that people can make their characters and actually live in this universe that has so much that people don't understand about it, but there's a certain way that everybody's been taught, and then there's the real world that's happening beneath, and the every adventure, every mission is all about uncovering the story underneath the stories that everybody hears, and Yeah, it's been a long road, and definitely have so much work done for it, and I can't wait to take it. So you have the game part where people get to play events leading up to and during and after everything that happens in the four novels. And right now, the first campaign, the first sets of stories, which takes place before everything happens, has been completely planned out, and I'm now in the process of writing all of the individual stories about what's happening point by point by point, to give people the entire story and not just the story that's told in the lore book and the rule book, because I only give so much away. Rest is going to be about the experience of playing these modules plus reading these novels one step at a time.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, it's so cool you're developing the novels side by side with the tabletop RPG. I think that's awesome. And I do want to pass along, some of the listeners said you're coming across a little bit light if there is a way that you can boost your volume and audio on your side, please do, because they can hear you, but it's just a little bit light compared to us. And so just passing that along. But, yes, it's awesome that you're developing it side by side. And, because two different mediums, two different styles of storytelling, and not the easiest thing to do, I imagine. And, so as far as the craft side of it, what's it like switching gears between, working on the modules and the game development side, and then, boom, going into the pros side of it? What kind of creative challenges does that give you?
Oh, there's mm-hmm. there is like it's and first of all, is this better now? I've switched over from my computer speaker
yes.
to my my cell phone. Sorry about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
That sounded
a
lot better.
A little
it
clearer.
Sounded like you
yeah.
were in a tunnel, like. But yeah, now it sounds really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. The challenges mm-hmm. Because as the story part is, it's the story of a novel is pretty much set in stone, and we all know that. And if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But for game, there's so much, like, you have to think about interaction becomes a part of that storytelling. How do people respond to this? How do people respond to that? How do people respond to that? The challenges that they have to face and everything else. So it becomes, you have to, I think of the novel writing becomes something a lot more easier because I know what I'm going to say for what I have to say it at what point, because it's just that's what you do. But with the game, it becomes, like I said, a little bit more difficult because there's so many things that you have to think, especially when you bring in the game side.
Oh.
I bring three types of morality into the situation. You can be a superhero like Superman or Captain America. You do the right thing no matter what. Or you could be the Punisher, and that's the guy who puts the bullet in the brain of the villain, because the villain's never going to stop. Or you might play the villain, because why not? Cause mayhem, and you could be working
yeah.
against everybody. So that becomes, how do you want to respond and everything, and so you have to look at different consequences of everything. So when you're writing an encounter up, like you would in a game, you have to say, "Oh, there's an ABC to these decisions sometimes, and this is what's going to happen in each one of these." And so it becomes even more complex. You write even more because one scene becomes really three scenes because people are deciding on different things, and so it becomes very complex, very complex.
Yeah, and I think
that is so cool because it's different perspectives, so you're bouncing ideas back and forth, and, yeah, both give huge, big different perspectives and the way you write them, and so yeah, that it's fascinating. It really is.
Oh, yeah.
And the game sounds like it's going to be a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it will. I'm really laying down exactly. And of course there is certain control points, because just as much as the players become a part of the story, so does I always believe the antagonist is the most – the antagonist or antagonists have to be the most important characters in your stories. And we all know when an antagonist works. It's Hades during Horizon Zero Dawn. It's got a one focus on causing the extinction again, and Aloy has to stop mm-hmm. it. And then, boom, and most of the story is driven by that artificial intelligence. Or it's the Nilfheim warrior in the Witcher series. He has to get Ciri, sorry about this. I've forgotten the name of the Witcher.
As bad as
Geralt,
me, I do this.
And Geralt has to stop him no matter what. Geralt has to mm-hmm. stop this warrior no matter what and protect Ciri with his own life. So we all know that the antagonist is the person who is pushing the story along always. And so in the modules, even the first set of stories, it's all about four or five of these antagonists. Some of them aren't even like bad people. One of the antagonists, for instance, he's just trying to prove to himself that the party that's going to be playing this is somebody worthy of his help. So he's going to put them through some trials and tribulations, but he's not really against them. He just wants to make sure that he's going to support the right people because they're going to be able to figure out the rest of it because he kind of knows what's going on, but he's not powerful enough on his own to deal with it. So he's an antagonist by pushing the players, but not like I want them all dead kind of antagonist that you would see in a lot of stories. And it's stuff like that. I can't wait to start to do stuff like that so that my players can get like really into that. This person is just somebody who's pushing you to your limits. To learn and do new things, because you have to think beyond what you're doing to actually solve what's going on in the first sets of missions. I like it.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And we got our first question for you from the chat room. It's from Clayton Barnett, who definitely has a strong AI element in his novel series. He's asking you, so an open-ended RPG, not on rails, but one you must complete a set of waypoints to a conclusion, that with a question mark at the end. You just want to, I think, just kind of ask you if that is the case.
I would say so. I'm building the maps right now, and what I would say is there is, like, storylines as you're exploring. You know, so the first one introduces you to the first area, the projects, which shows that if you're living in the projects, it's difficult. You're going to be – not only do you have to work – in public farms to make sure that you have something to eat, but at the same time, there's factions within the projects that they're trying to push for more and more power themselves, which only makes people's lives more and more difficult. So you have to make some choices in there, like who are you going to really support and all of that. And then the next one, it comes a week later, and you're trying to there now is a riot from a group of people who don't like people with superpowers, and they're trying to make your life and everybody else's life even more difficult, and trying to cause problems and cause a riot and everything. You have to go through different parts of that to try to make the try to get rid of this and try to quell this, riot that they're trying to produce. And then the third one introduces the big story, like with story beats, the first quarter, at the end of the first quarter, you're kicked out of your normal world and by the first plot point to say, there's something really major going on, and then the next half becomes the adventure world before the last quarter you're trying to finalize things. And I'm not going to even say what the third one will be about, because and the subsequent ones, because that'd be giving away too much story, and I never want to give away too much story, but let's just say it turns really dark at the third, at the beginning of the third, and by the end of the third mission set. But like I said, you go all around. You are just traveling around a map, and certain things will happen, and you'll get. It would be a lot like something like if people played a video game like Red Dead Redemption. There are like real plot points which you're doing, but there's also so much more, so much else to do as well within these areas, so that you learn as much. You learn more and more and more about what's going on.
That sounds comprehensive, and I know Holly can definitely talk as on the tabletop and gaming side. She's an avid gamer. I've gotten back into it myself with our D&D group that got together in the last year, so I'm getting back into gaming again a bit. But Holly, yeah, definitely. What do you see as far as some things about the game side on this?
That's what I said. I absolutely think it's going to be fascinating. And I love the idea that you're going to be traveling around different areas with a map. And his whole idea with your whole idea about the aliens. Yeah, since I've been a little girl, I mean, I was fascinated by E.T. and all that. But he was the cute, cuddly alien, and I don't think that's the way they're going to be. And by what you're saying, that's how yours are. You know, they see us as meat. I was wondering if maybe when you were younger, if you liked the V series. Did you ever watch V?
Yeah,
On top of that, They Live. Talk about They Live, because Clayton brought that up in the chat room. So, yes, I talked about They Live, V, and then also I was curious about They Live.
Yeah,
because
that's what I'm getting in the mind of. You know, like your aliens are in that kind of mindset and are going to present themselves that way.
Oh, yeah, and there's a specific reason why they're like this. Like, everything is not just what I'm going to present is every single thing that's happening has a reason behind it. And so the aliens, and again, I'm not going to really give away too much. The aliens are
in a situation that
some of them really don't like what they're doing anyways, and which will be there's circumstances happening in which they don't feel like they have a choice, and they have to do this because of other things that are going on. And so like I said, one of the most important characters that you'll never meet, but everybody will know about, is the emperor of these aliens. And nobody will ever see it. Nobody will ever read about it. It'll just be eventually nearing the end, there'll be just a paragraph saying, humanity defeated the emperor. Because there's no way to describe what this emperor is. It'd be beyond human comprehension. But humanity defeated it. So, and then there's other things that are going on as well. There is a bit of spirituality in there, because I believe you can basically combine these two kind of things successfully. Mm-hmm. I believe that you can combine horror supernatural ideas with everything else, because ultimately the biggest antagonist of all of these stories, the ultimate one that even this emperor would be less than, would be the first son of the Shaper called Shaenis, who is insane. He is the ultimate nihilist, and he's always trying to come up with the final plan for his final solution to complete nihilism. And you have to deal with that too. So you're dealing with the aliens who are completely controlled by him, who are completely controlled by, and he's just insane. He's just insane.
That sounds fantastic.
Yeah,
so
it does.
What's
sound
your
fantastic.
What is your projection of the game being available for play?
Oh,
or beta?
Right now, I do have, like I said, the basic. I have the basic, the first version, public version of the rule book,
okay.
The lore book, and the character sheet. So. That's available if people want to download it and create a campaign after reading everything else. And I'm doing writing my own campaign and everything right now. So I would say a full version of what will go on something like Drive You Through RPG and Amazon and everything, I would say 2 or 3 years. 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
And the... But right now, it's completely available to play, and I can see myself changing things. But it's the final draft before I get public feedback. It is the final draft.
Very nice.
Okay.
Very nice.
And where are these available to upload? To actually see the for somebody to build them a campaign, be able to play.
Yes.
Okay. And I do have, and I've put them all.
Yeah.
On,
so our listeners and me can take a look.
Yeah,
at these.
And so you know, Clayton has just volunteered that he knows a big tabletop gamer in Newark who knows everybody in Ohio. So evidently he knows a lot of people.
There you go.
So yeah, if you got some people that might want to test it out. So, yes, let's get a
okay.
URL to get this.
Okay, so let me just make sure. I've recently went back on Twitter, and I just want – okay, yeah. Okay, I'm under Amazing Gaming Productions on Twitter, and my pinned thread that talks about myself and why I'm doing things and everything has a link to the – Dropbox materials. I have all three on Dropbox right now.
Where is that? Because I'm going to go grab it real quick for the chat room. I'm going to go grab that URL.
Amazing.
Your handle
Games
on Twitter
on
is
Twitter.
Is that your handle?
Under Amazing Gaming Productions.
Amazing Gaming Productions. Okay, I will find you here. Huh. Amazing Gaming Productions. It's not bringing you up right now. Amazing Gaming Productions. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because it's not
okay,
pulling up anything.
Yeah. Here we go. I'll send you the link then. Okay, copy. Okay. And there we go.
Yeah, if you got my email handy, I mean, you can send it through there and I can post it right here for everybody.
Yeah, we want to make sure we have that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
everybody.
Clayton's got some folks, evidently, the nicely connected fellow in Newark who is a big tabletop gamer. So, yeah, we definitely want to get this link. Yeah, hopefully get you some new players.
Awesome.
The suspense.
And I'll give you
the suspense.
It is. It's
there
suspense. Aha.
Wait. Oh, false alarm. It was Mark's email letting me know that he was in the chat on hold. Got to get that email.
Psych.
Yeah.
Well, it is quite fascinating when you mix the two, and I like how he's writing them coinciding, which is always fun.
Yeah, remind me, we got a boss monster question from the chat room. Yeah, Clayton was wondering about the use of bosses, monsters in the game, and whether or not that is a big component. You'd ask
I
that.
Do
I want
to
make
tell
sure
the authors out there, yes, it's another avenue you could look into. It's the tabletop gaming or video gaming. There's other things you could do with your story, you know, besides just, you know, like short films or, you know, features or series. There's just all kinds of different things that you could do. It just gives you another creative outlet for your characters that you've grown to love or loathe.
Yes. Yeah, so if you don't feel comfortable going the movie route, the indie film route, game development is definitely another possibility to explore, or both. I mean, take your story to other mediums.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like,
one thing
like
we like
said,
to encourage.
Like I mentioned, Witcher started out as a Polish author who published right after communism fell, and it becomes a video game. The Witcher series is definitely one of those, like, go from novel to game to everything else, to a Netflix show, because, yeah, I always say it like that. I had a meme of saying, I read the book before I played the video game, and I think, honestly, a video game would probably be the best way to actually be faithful to the most faithful to the written content, because you can really get into that, explore those themes and ideas a lot more with video games. Like for me, I always talk about how well programming actually can promote a theme. For Red Dead Redemption 2, Arthur Morgan couldn't own 100% of his either his honor or dishonor before Chapter 6. And now some players might go, like, I didn't like that. But Arthur Morgan was so blindly loyal to Dutch up until the 6th chapter. Of course he can't own it all. He's too blindly loyal to somebody. But once he starts to see Dutch is not somebody you should be loyal to, then he finally owns himself. And then as a result, he can be 100% honorable or dishonorable, depending on his actions now. Because he owns instead of not owning himself through most of the first five chapters. So I kind of love that idea that you can program something in and say you can't do that until certain conditions are met. And then once those conditions are met, you can now do this or that. But
right.
On the boss fighting thing, of course there's going to be bosses. Like I said, the antagonists deliver the entire story. What's Superman without Lex Luthor? Who's Barry Allen without the Yellow Flash? Who is Batman without the Joker? Of course there's going to be – you need these kind of mirrors to those characters to say that there is something greater. And like I said, almost everything in So every single one of these big storylines, they're going to have major antagonists who are going to be very powerful, very, and something that the players are going to have to figure out how to exactly deal with, because they're not going to be pushovers. For the first one, the main antagonist in the first one is going to be somebody that he actually is not. I'm not going to go too far into it, but there's there's going to be a lot going on in that first one that people are not going to are going to uncover eventually, because, like I said, there's the story everybody gets in the history books, which is basically what the lore book and the rule books are, and then there's the story of why all of this is actually happening and why it actually happened and how it actually happened, and those are the games and the novels are going to look in on that completely, and people will be like, wow. Hopefully we'll go, wow.
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah, you put a lot into it. And I did find the pinned tweet. Thank you for that, sending me the email. And the reason I couldn't find it online, because I was trying to pull up a handle under Amazing Gaming Productions, but your handle is actually AMGAMEPROD. So Am Game Prod is actually the handle on Twitter with the pinned tweet. And, you can easily find that Dropbox link. And for those in the chat room, I have posted the Dropbox link. So go ahead and get the goodies. I pulled up the link. It works.
Nice.
And it looks like there's some good stuff in there. And I'm going to have to get that myself. Get up to speed here. Good. This is good. Good stuff. And it's exciting, and definitely I know Holly can definitely give you kind of good gaming feedback, because she's been an active gamer mm-hmm. for many years and expert at even collectible card games as well. So,
well, I have millennial children that are avid gamers, so yeah, they would love to take a look at this, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're
awesome.
Gonna get to work on this.
Speaking about the card game, my fiance, because she loved things like Pokemon and everything, she said, why mm-hmm. why throw dice and everything in? Why don't you make everything about building up a card for your character? And I'm going like, that might be something that I might explore for in the next versions. I might actually still have the dice and everything. I might, but I'm thinking like mm-hmm. Probably like you develop all of these powers and they could be a card that you can use anytime. Like if you have psychic senses and you go into an area and you're trying to find clues, you just lay the card yeah. down, and then you get the mission would be based upon you lay down this card. You get this information mm-hmm. from the GM who says, "Oh, you. This is what you sense, and this is what you can do, based upon that." And so I'm
That'd
thinking
be neat.
About that actually. I thought.
And
so
and
too,
also, I got something else to throw at you, is the idea. We have several friends that have really cool 3D printers, and when we play D&D, they are so funny that they will actually print out our characters. You know, you write your description of your character, and they'll actually print them out and paint them. So we have our little characters mm-hmm. ourselves and these little figures,
custom.
You know, that we use. So, I mean, they're customizable. So that's another thing. So, like, when you're doing the dice and the role play, you could introduce the little characters. You could link up with someone with a 3D printer, or if you have one yourself, and actually print the little characters to go along with that.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that I would want to do that. I know a few people who do miniatures on both on Twitter and on the other social media website talking about cryptocurrencyminds.com. It's got cryptocurrency built right into it where you earn money by marketing yourself. And I'm going like, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, mine's is awesome. Yeah, blockchain-based social media.
Yeah, mine is cool.
So cool. What a cool concept.
I'm not on there like
I love,
be,
I love how they integrate.
When I first...
I love it. Yeah, I love how they integrate crypto into the actual platform. It's
yeah.
so cool.
I'm like, how am I earning coins?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah.
Yeah, when I first got on there, I'm like, how am I earning anything? I'm not doing anything. What's this? You know? Yeah, it's so cool. You sit there and earn crypto for your post, you know.
Pretty neat. Check it out.
It's a social media
cool.
mind.
I love it. And a lot of just super creative people there and authors and game designers and artists. And, I mean, it's got a really vibrant creative community, and people are really into, you know, the blockchain and crypto stuff too and all that stuff I'm interested in. So, yeah, it's a great platform. And, yeah, you got to love it. Yeah, it's an ERC. They have their own token. It's an ERC-20 token that's part, you know, obviously on the Ethereum network, which is mega cool because I love Ethereum. So that's a shout out to Vitalik Buterin. I love that guy. Vitalik Buterin. Sorry. Vitalik Buterin. Yeah, he's awesome. But love that aspect. But yeah, you definitely got some.
Yeah, it's a good place to link up with people. So that's awesome you are in contact with a few of those people that do work in the miniatures. So yeah, that's something to think about.
Oh yeah, I definitely think that when I'm about to get ready and everything, I really poured a lot into these ideas for how I want to actually get all of this done and everything, and it's going to be really really fun to actually put something together and just have to be good old-fashioned, have fun with making characters again, and it's just about having fun and experiencing a really good story, a really good story.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And let us know, too, because like I said, you know, we do know a number of people that are very active in 3D printing, and one has a ridiculous number. He's got like six 3D printers and stuff, and they are really good at what they do. They even make little iconic elements from the whatever game section of the game we're going to, not just figures, but even little pieces that represent different iconic elements and stuff. It's really cool, but... In other words, I mean, they really know what they're doing, and definitely be glad to get you in contact with them, because it sounds like, I mean, you're an artist, and that's got to be another thing on your plate. I mean, are you doing all the artwork currently for your tabletop RPG and everything, or have you put together a team for that yet?
I haven't put together a team. That's all mine. It's all me. I know, like, I try to do as much as I can for everything, but I know that it all comes down, like, you need to start to find people to delegate things to, and I'm going, like, eventually I will. Hopefully I can start to find people to actually do things. I think I would like to work with quite a few people to get things done, but a lot of people are usually prices can be quite steep too. I tried
Crazy.
To work with one person to get some characters done for me, and it was like it was the commission rate was for 3D is quite high because
I imagine
and
yeah
I'd
it's
like,
rough
oh yeah
yes yeah, so- Sometimes, though, I mean, you will find some folks in overseas, and this goes for artists as well, that work at some pretty reasonable rates. We've had some guests on the show like Simon Kledke. I don't know if you caught that show, but he's out of Chile, and he was involved on the development of a fully animated show, and I believe it was the Philippines, Holly, was it?
I want to say it was the Philippines.
Artists, some of the artists he was exploring now, I mean, the price difference was astronomical versus what they encountered in, you know, like the U.S. and so forth. So sometimes, I mean, you can, find some folks that, you know, work a lot more on an indie budget, as I'd say, whether it's comics or 3D or anything like that.
Or you could find people that in the creative world, the market, that maybe you have a skill set that you can help them out, and then they trade with you for being able to help you with, you know, other things.
True.
So you trade tit for tat, you know, say, hey, I need this done. I see you do this. I'd be willing to help you, you know, do this if you'll help me do this. So you help each other, you know, in your different skill sets.
Well, that's true. That's very true. And I was thinking, now that I have almost everything, like I said, the final draft is done, I'm almost thinking about doing a Kickstarter campaign and saying, this is what I need. Like, I need to get a good professional editor to look at it. I need to get some, an artist to do some 3D models of characters and everything that I would like to get done. So, and a few other things, and see if I can do a Kickstarter for it. The fact that I've been done so much, and I'm doing so much to help other people with their Kickstarters and stuff like that, I would hope that a lot of people would start to help out and provide.
Yeah,
I'm
help
about
you
to,
too.
In a couple of weeks, I'm going to put up some requests for stuff like that. First, whether you want to help out through cryptocurrency or you want to help out through doing Subscribestar or Patreon, doing either or, and saying if you want to, do a membership on Minds.com, because those are always a good thing as well, where people can give you tokens or money every single month. Depending on what you want and what they want to do. And so I might start doing that and see who's willing to provide that kind of membership for me.
Okay. Right. Yeah. But get some reinforcement on that from Clayton about, you know, talking, I was chatting with him a little bit about bartering skill sets. You know, sometimes that can help you when you're low on the cash side, but you have skill sets, and you do. I mean, you're an artist.
Right.
You're doing several things. And then now you're also, I don't want to forget to mention that you're also developing visual media content in the way of video channels. And I don't know how many platforms you're going to put those on, but I know you're getting ready to do some serious video stuff too.
Oh yeah, I've already started that myself, putting up book review videos and everything, and comic review videos now to very short ones too. Like most of the time when you listen to people on YouTube, they talk about if you have a 30% watch time over 10 to 15 minute video, YouTube will start to promote it. And so that means most people are only watching 3 to 4 minutes of every video. So why are people putting up 30-minute review videos on a game, a book, a comic, when most of the people are only going to watch 3 minutes, 4 minutes of it? So I decided I'm going to make this channel, call it the 3-Minute Hot Take. And you can watch this. Here's one. Here's the pros. Here's the cons. Whether or not I recommend it or not. And just let everything and just let it be, boom, and a basic synopsis and a basic tagline for it, saying if you like this, this is it, or maybe it's not it.
It's a good idea.
It's a really bad book or comic or whatever, and let people. And so far in the first month, the first 28 days, I've had about 115 views. I've gained 8 subscribers, so I'm kind of going like, yeah, that's pretty good. And my click-through rate right now I've kind of shifted over watching a lot of videos about how to make thumbnails, how to make your content, how to read analytics and stuff like that on YouTube, that my click-through rate is about 6%. And again, YouTube likes to, from the people who are study analytics, YouTube likes will actually probably prefer my high watch time. I have like a 60% watch time on my 2 or 3 minute long videos, and I have a 6% click-through rate, and both of them will push that, and hopefully I might send it over to other things. I'm thinking about doing Rumble. Video media, I'm not so sure about, because BitChute, most of the people there, I'm starting to really shy away from the extremely political stuff, because I've come to a realization, I've been fighting, looking at all of these fights politically online or culturally online for 20 plus years, and nobody wins. And so I'm probably not going to upload, because most of the people there are only there for one thing, and it's never going to happen. I compared this with somebody that I was talking on Twitter. I compared the culture wars as a Babylon 5 reference. It's the Vorlons versus the Shadow. Neither side wants the other to win. Wants the other one to lose, because as long as the other one exists, they have purpose, and they have a reason to exist, and therefore something to promote. Because one person I remember talked about it, as long as there's crappy Star Wars movies and crappy comics from DC and Marvel and everything, these people on YouTube have a reason to exist. And they don't want those crappy stuff to ever stop. And they'll even invent the controversy if they really wanted to, because they, as long as those exist, they get to sell their content. And if those didn't exist and Star Wars became great again and all of these things become much better, then they wouldn't have videos to sell. And they couldn't sell their work.
Sure.
Because they're just exist to react to all of this stuff. And so I don't want to be on something like BitChute. Maybe Rumble, because it might – I've seen a lot of people go on Rumble to try to, here, let's do this. And I've seen people on videos I originally put on Rumble for writing advice and stuff like that, and they actually get 20, 30, 40 views. So maybe that would be a place mm-hmm. where people are not just looking for politics. And,
right.
I'd say Rumble. Rumble's a true YouTube alternative at this point, and they do have mm-hmm. Live streaming capability, and they've got a massive number of users. I mean, it's millions and millions and millions at this point. So they do get. Some of the people that get deplatformed, like on YouTube, do of course, obviously go over there because they have more of a First Amendment mm-hmm. view of the free speech on their platform. So yeah, they do have folks that get kicked off of YouTube sometimes, but mm-hmm. It seems to be a really good quality platform as far as the quality of the platform interface, live streaming, all that kind of thing. And they do have monetization too. So I have not started any channel on there, so I can't say by experience, but from what I've seen, it does appear to be a really well done channel.
Yeah, I will, and I'll definitely look into it. For me, yeah. So that for me, the YouTube channel, a lot of it is to also help a lot of other people get their content out there. Primarily, most of the time, my focus is to try to help other people out. Like, there's excellent authors on Minds that they don't really get the light of day because they're not they don't agree with what's going on in Twitter and agree with the way overhanded way people act on Twitter. Like, not that many people do like Twitter. Personally, I prefer that I wasn't on Twitter anymore, but it's got the user base. But they'll get maybe sell like C.L. Carhart. She'll sell maybe 400 or 500 or 600 of her books, and she has 2 books out there and 400 or 500 sales for both of them, and I'm thinking if I can just get a big enough YouTube audience, I can help people like her out because there's so much. There's because of the gatekeeping and the people just shunning people for all kinds of like really stupid reasons.
I know how you feel. that's what I say. You gotta be present on some of these other mainstream platforms, but also always be sure to support some of the alternative tech platforms like Minds or a place like Rumble or Odyssey or whoever. I mean, it's definitely a situation where I think creatives do need to, also keep their plurality of platform options. Otherwise, it can get pretty bad if you just have one gatekeeper. Yeah, that's not good. I mean, we've seen it in the book market when Amazon's the dominant force in book distribution now, and how that's not necessarily great for all indie authors. So it is good to keep a plurality.
We can
do a whole show on that.
I'm going to be testing those waters in probably a few months when I launch Webtastic Stories on that. That's the second project. I don't know if you wanted to get into that one, but that's my second project, and I'm going to see how far I can take Amazon because I'm not sure if they're going to really like the scenes out of that story because I'm basically telling people a lot of this culture stuff and that, and why I'm so fed up with the politics stuff on a lot of platforms is because some of it is from people who are outright liars, and they really are. I found out grifter actually means you have to be doing something illicit, like illegal.
Yeah.
And so there really are grifters who couldn't care less about whatever they're saying, but they're just saying it for fame, clout, and money. And it's like,
Well, that's why I love that one guy. He's a very independent kind of dude. He's very, I'd almost say like a libertarian kind of mindset in a way, but not this in the political party libertarians, which I think are is a very disorganized group. but it's more philosophical. But Hotep Jesus is his name, and he's got a annual show now called The Grifties, and they actually nominate and vote for and issue like a, it's almost like a Academy Award style presentation, and it was one of the funniest things I have ever watched in my life. But it's called The Grifties, and they give awards to the top grifters in various categories, and it's fun. I will have to send you a link
to it. It was hilarious. We watched it.
We watched it
the last time, and we put it up on the TV using the Fire Stick. Yeah. And I tell you, it was hilarious. We sit here and laugh
and equal opportunity. I mean, they put up grifters from the left and
the
right.
The board,
so I mean,
you know, it doesn't matter.
It's open
middle,
season. If you're a grifter on the left,
you know,
you're,
it don't matter.
If you're a grifter in the center, if you're, you know, all ethnicities, I mean, they don't shy away from anything. So it's a very balanced award ceremony. It's great. I love
yeah.
it. But it's fun. But yeah, there are, and I know what you mean. And it makes life as a creative tough because, I mean, like when I'm on platforms, I mean, half of my audience is on one side, half's on the other. And what do? It's a real tough thing. You know, I mean, if anybody reads my
book,
they know my philosophy.
You know, you say one thing, you're going to alienate half of your audience, and you say another, you're going to alienate other half. So you got to keep your mouth shut, you know, because you don't want people to get mad at you just because of your political views, because I don't think you should judge a person just because of their political views.
I came to a realization. I did a review for Star Shatter by Agamar recently, and half of his entire fan base took offense to me calling his book campy. I think campy is something like Galaxy Quest and Army of Darkness, fun movies that I really enjoy.
Uh-huh.
Campy horror films. We watch campy horror films all the time. Oh my God, Nightmare on Elm Street, Puppet Master, the original Chucky, you know, all Jason. You know, you go
Friday
13th still. That's all campy crap, you know, but it was great. And I use the word campy all the time.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it was almost, and I realized when they were so offended over that, I said I could either bow down and delete my post and be, quote, be their puppet, or I could just live with what I said and just build my life my way and not really worry about what other people think. So for me, I'm starting to learn a little bit about I ask myself, when I'm posting something online, I said, does this build up my life? Does this build my audience up? Does this build my friends up? If it doesn't, if I say no to those three things, then I'm saying this is my choice instead of bowing down to somebody else. Because there's always somebody.
Right.
Like I, on Twitter, like a couple of weeks ago, one of these blue check mark, awesome blue check mark people said, why is this white woman making a noodles and dumpling recipe book? Because she was white.
Well, because she can. That's why.
Because she can. That's why.
Yeah. That's true.
You're always going to find people today that take offense, and no matter what you do, all you can do is be a good person and be yourself and,
be you and
let your
march
freak
forward.
Flag fly
yeah.
and march forward, you know, but you're always going to offend somebody. And it's hard. It's hard for creatives to take that
nowadays,
lightly. Yeah. It goes back to reviews. You know, you have a creative, let's say like an author, they'll have 10 great book reviews. Well, here will come some person that is irritated with the condition that Amazon mailed it to them in. So they'll put up this horrible review, one-star review, and it had nothing to do with the writing or the author. It had to do with Amazon, but yet it showed up under your reviews. And, you know, it's really upsetting. I mean, that really gets to authors, you know, and that's not constructive criticism. That's just criticism of Amazon, not the author. But it's stuff like that, you know, and then there's people that just go out to stir trouble. They like to stir the pot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and
yes.
they'll get on there
the
and follow you around.
Now we speak
grifter,
of the troll.
Yeah. We call them
Caesars. Then there's the troll.
But, yeah.
Then there's the troll.
The
troll. Yes.
And the Caesar.
Yes.
Yeah.
The troll. Yeah, that's always my cute little word for them. But yeah, it's the troll, and then the trolls. Yeah, and the internet's in troll infested territory, unfortunately. So it doesn't matter what platform you're on, you will run into them. They are everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. There was this one that I recently dealt with. It was for CL's book, The Mystic Gateway. And every single point in this person's review was how because basically her novel has German people with blood magic, and so she said it was all about rapey Nazis and racist Nazi stuff. And I'm going like, where the hell are you reading that from? Like,
no, I know. Yeah, you get some weird stuff.
And,
yeah.
I had an exchange with them a little bit, and then they tried to cause some controversy and drama with me on Instagram and just blocked them. It's like, you're not really knowing. And then I found out Twitter actually suspended her account at some time, because when I came back on Twitter, the first thing I wanted to do was block this person because they're ignorant, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that Twitter has already done the job for me.
Yeah, the block button is your friend. Yeah,
that's how it's satisfying.
Yeah, I call it the troll zapper. Yeah, the block button or mute button, whatever they call it on various platforms, but the troll zapper. And yeah, because you never get an honest conversation with them, even if you present them 100 facts.
No.
Doesn't matter. I mean, they're just going to kick move the goalposts every time.
Where's the proof? Yeah.
And you give them proof all day long on something, or explain something rationally and reasonably, and they're just going to, yeah.
Yeah.
These people, they're just nuts, and yeah, you just got to block them at some point. It's just the way it is.
And I think it's just because, well, and it's got a lot worse because people are, we've
polarized.
Had a bad 2 years, and mm-hmm. we've been cooped up, not been able to live a normal life, and I mean, it's just one thing after another, and people are living in fear, and people, you know, are afraid to go do anything, and then you got others that don't care, and I mean, it's just, it's a weird climate out there. I mean, we've been on an emotional roller coaster ride, and then as creatives, still trying to create, but you know, it's hard because it's hard to get in that mindset, you know, and it's rough to plow through it. But we can also take solace in the fact, you know, when you are creating, it is a good outlet. At least you have that outlet, you know,
exactly.
To express yourself.
Exactly. And that's half of the reason why I started to do Webtastic Stories, because I'm so fed up with all of these weird conspiracy theories. My focus is going to start about how this started, and it was before the lockdowns and everything. How there was so many journalists on Twitter who thought the Joker movie was going to cause the incel rebellion with dozens of mass shootings on opening night, and I'm going like, why do you believe that? Why do you actually believe that? That's not going to happen, and it didn't.
I think we're losing you again, Mark. You're fading. Your voice is getting fade. There you go.
There.
Steven loved that movie. You loved that movie, The Joker. That was a good one. With
That was well done. It was a good character study and definitely a deeper movie than I expected, you know, from the usual, you know, comic book character fare, as far as mainstream movies and things go. I mean, it was a lot deeper.
I think it does.
The perfect disillusionment arc where the character comes to understands a very dark truth about themselves, and Arthur, and then after that he brings everybody down with them, i.e. Arthur Fleck realizes he's paranoid, he's schizophrenic, he's crazy, and decides, well, that's how my life is. Get ready.
Right. It comes to realization, self-actualization, and that's how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then it's like you get what you bleep and deserve. Boom.
Right.
On the TV.
That's why Steve says he would never, ever put me, put a crown on my head or vote me into office. Because
that'd be dangerous. Yeah.
I'd be too likely to hit that red button. Pow!
Yeah.
Be done with it.
Yeah, which,
you know.
She gets mad. That's not good. But we're coming up on we have about 5 minutes left, so I want to make sure that folks listening are able to connect with Mark at any platform or website he wishes to have people find him on. So let's give Mark a little chance to tell folks URLs or social media handles where they can find you.
Okay, so first Twitter, and that would be my handle there is AM Game Prod. They wouldn't let me go AGT on Twitter for whatever reason. I think it was because it was already taken, but AM Game Prod. And for YouTube,
a YouTube channel.
My YouTube channel. You can find it under Amazing Gaming Productions. That's the name of the channel, and it has my little Earth icon in the Amazing Gaming Productions words over it. And then on my...
I am subscribing now. I'm going to find you. There you are. Hold on. Let's see. Well... I don't know if that's you. Let's see. Awesome Gaming Productions. So that shouldn't be you. Got to find Amazing Gaming Productions.
Okay, so
got an Earth icon.
Did you find it?
Yes.
I want to make sure I subscribe live on the air here.
Okay. There. Let me just...
Daniel, you okay, honey? You've been quiet.
He had to get off the lawn because he wasn't feeling too well. So yeah, he sent a note.
I didn't hear him. He got me worried.
Okay. There. I just sent the email, and of course at minds.com under Make Games Great Again, Amazing Gaming Productions.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an easy one to find you under. Hopefully we can. I don't know. Make sure I subscribe to you right now.
I love the play on words. That's funny.
There you are.
I made that account in 2018 when I felt I was a little bit more edgy at the time. And I go like, "Yeah, make games great again."
I have subscribed. So yes, I found you. There you go.
Yep. Awesome. So I do a lot of different reviews and looking at different initiatives like the whole idea of the library initiative and getting people's books into libraries, indie books into libraries and everything. And
very cool.
Somebody from Mines came up with it at first, and I was going like, okay, let's bring that idea to YouTube and see if people will check it out and make that a reality for a lot of people who have a lot of books. and
fantastic.
Have books
we'll have to chit chat. We'll have to chit chat
yeah,
with
we'll,
you.
That, we'll follow up with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but,
I hope,
yeah, we got. Yeah,
oh,
we definitely
on.
Will. Oh no, I was just going to say, yeah, we definitely are going to follow up with you on that. But we got about a minute left, so is there anything you'd like to say as a final statement before we go off air here?
Oh yeah, I'll go with my my big branding statement. Any type of creativity is any type of creative is on the hero's journey. You have to do scary things, and you have to stand up against the dragon, or the dragon will get you. So for everyone,
nice.
Be brave.
Be good brave. Note to end the show on. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Mark. It's been fantastic, and we've enjoyed having you. Definitely want to have you on sooner than later. I want you to be a regular guest because you got a lot of irons in the fire, doing some exciting things on different platforms, and certainly have loved being getting to know you this past year. And so thank you for joining us tonight. And, we'll go ahead and wrap her up. And, yeah, next Wednesday we'll have another Star Chamber show at 9 p.m. Eastern. And, Holly, go ahead and take us out. And Mark, if there's anything else, a quick shout-out, go ahead.
No. Thank you for having me on. And it's been really great to get to know you over the last year or so. It's been we've migrated from a lot of different social media platforms and everything. It's been quite a journey, hasn't it?
Yes, onwards and upwards, as I always say. Thank you.
Onwards
ahead,
and
Holly.
Upwards.
Wrap us up here.
Thank you,
up.
Mark. And, yes, join us again. And so we will have to definitely talk about crypto. We'll have to do a whole show just on crypto. That would be fascinating for our guests that don't know about it and don't understand it. And we can sure help fill them in.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yes.
But, yeah, that would be great. And looking forward to it. But, yeah, I'll join us next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. with another great creative guest. And we'll see you then. Have a great week.
Okay. You too. Bye.